Glad you're here. Praise the Lord. You know, we call this Easter or Resurrection Sunday. And if you really think about it, it's quite interesting. Resurrection Sunday changed everything. Changed everything. Actually, and I've said this before, but it changed how we do time. It changed how you write your date on your check. How many still don't have checks? Yeah. This young generation that doesn't have checks, I love it. But I still write checks, and you still write the date on your papers, right? You ever write your date? Well, the only reason, listen, from the resurrection, that changed. It used to be BC, and from the point of the resurrection, it changed. So listen, I believe there was a change. I believe in the resurrection in the world. They may not understand all of that, but guess what they write on their check? Today they're going to write April 1st, 2018, because that resurrection changed everything. And that's just one of the things. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what changed. But I'm so glad to see you. There's some faces I haven't seen in a while that you came to be a guest, and we're just tickled you're here. Just tickled you're here. And we want you to feel welcome. Like this is your home. You come into my house, kick off your shoes, and you can grab a cup out of the cupboard and help yourself. That's what happens when you come into my house. It's home. Well, I want you to just be at home. And I know sometimes you're like, I came because my mother made me. Don't raise your hand if that's one of you. But I just want to say, that's okay. Just be at home, all right? Promise you'll just have no one's going to do whatever. All right. Praise the Lord. I'm going to start by reading a scripture that's pretty familiar. It's found in the Gospel of Luke. So if you want to open up if you have your Bibles, if you need a Bible, we've got Bibles in the back. The guys will give it to you. If you want to borrow a Bible, you can have a Bible. We buy them by the case. Okay? And if not, they're going to pop it up right there on the screen. So open up to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. I'm going to start at verse 1. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 1. Praise the Lord. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking their spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And as they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed at the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Praise God. Hallelujah. That's the resurrection. And you know what's so cool about the resurrection? Then that day and every day forth, because of that day, everybody can have a chance. It's a new day. And it doesn't matter how tough your yesterday was. Because of the resurrection, you can have a new day through Jesus. So I get thrilled about Easter Sunday, but just every day in him. And you know, when you read the Gospels about the events that got to that point, that got Jesus to that point where he was crucified on a cross, and then he died and he was buried and he rose on the third day. But did you ever think about what those 3 days were like for Jesus' disciples and his followers? I'm sure they weren't eating ice cream. Okay? They were thinking, man, it's bad. It's bad. Jesus died on that cross. It's bad. We got trouble, right? Those were 3 pretty tough days. But Sunday came, and Jesus rose from the dead. And for all of us, you know, it's not just Easter Sunday, but for all of us, that's a day that we go, wow, from that day forward, my life, no matter how bad it's going to be, or has been rather, not going to be, has been, I can have a better day because Jesus rose from the dead. And that's just amazing. So we're going to talk today a little bit about hope. And some of you, if you've gotten these are, if you would like to take notes, you can write the title of this, Hope. We're going to talk about hope today. And it's real interesting if you look in our culture, you just, read things on the internet or something. We are kind of at an all-time low when it comes to hope. Our culture's like they're not too hopeful, all right? And but I want to talk about hope because, and not just for if you're a church person, I'm just talking about hope for every person. So I want to talk about hope because hope is what gets you out of the bed, right? You have to have hope. So we're going to talk a little bit about hope today. And, you know, sometimes I think people think that the government's going to give them hope. How many of you found out? Not hit that button. Not though. We are involved and we pray, okay? And sometimes I think people think, wow, I read the economy. It's getting better and you can have hope in the economy. How many of you think that's going to work? We're hoping so, right? We're praying, but you know, really, that's not where we're going to have our hope. The hope that gets you out of bed and the hope that brings life and joy is only going to be through Jesus Christ. How many of you know that? It really is. That's only going to be the true hope, and there's no place else that you can find it. So I want to talk about hope, and you know, when I think of our culture, this is how it goes. Hey, I hope you're coming to church with me tomorrow, right? And you know, the thing about that kind of hope, it's more like I wish you're coming. It's a wish. And you know, that culture of I wish is nothing about the hope that you read in your Bible. It's just totally different. So I want to give you the definition of hope in the Bible so that you will have hope. So if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Hope, a favorable and confident expectation. That sounds pretty good. You should be smiling right about now. A favorable and confident expectation. The second one is a happy anticipation of good. Oh, okay. A happy anticipation of good. So in other words, I have hope, even though the day was bad, I have hope that it's going to be better. Okay, that's hope. I have hope it's going to be better. Or better yet, you know, man, my teenager has been bringing me through the ringer, but I believe I have hope that's going to be better. Okay, that's the right kind of hope. Or, you know, I have, you know, as bad as my marriage is, as bad as my family is, I know it's going to get better. And that's hope. That's the Bible kind of hope. I know it's going to get better. All right. And you know why? Because hope is a confident expectation of something good. It's a favorable anticipation of something good. That's hope. And hope in Jesus is good. Amen. It really is. Hey, so let me give you a scripture. Open up to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6. Excuse me, backwards. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. It says, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor of our soul. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor of our soul. Well, think about an anchor. Anybody, if you got a little boat and you throw out the anchor? Uh-huh. Anybody, if you've ever seen those, and they're going to pop a picture up here. You ever see those big cruise ships and the anchor that they have? It is huge. All right. Now think about that anchor. All right. That it's a strong, huge anchor. So question, what's the purpose of that anchor? Why does that cruise ship have an anchor? So it doesn't move. It doesn't drift, right? That thing it stays where they want to stay, all right? So think about what this Apostle Paul just wrote. You have an anchor for your soul. You have an anchor for your soul. So why would you have an anchor for your soul? Why would he say you could have an anchor for your soul? Why? Well, so you don't go drifting. You don't go moving. You don't go deep south. All right? In case you didn't know, this culture just tries to get you to go with it in places your mama said you shouldn't go. This culture tries to get you to move and drift to the point that you don't know up for down and that you don't even know if you're coming or going. So the scripture says you have a Jesus that can and is the anchor of your soul. Soul means when I'm like, ah, I need an anchor. Anybody go, ah, you know, I need an anchor. So we have a hope that is Jesus that can anchor our soul. That's crazy great. That's crazy great. Because how many of you have just been kind of had a few days where you drifted all over the place, got yourself, and you go, oh my gosh, how did I get here? I should have stuck on the anchor. Should have hang on to that anchor. Okay, so praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm just all over the place on my notes. I'm so glad I have them here. So Jesus is the anchor of our soul. Jesus is that strong, trustworthy anchor of our soul. But I don't know about you. Before I found out that Jesus loved me and that I needed him, I had tried a whole bunch of other things for anchors. Anybody ever try some other things for anchors in your life? Okay, people will try drugs for an anchor in their life. They'll try alcohol. They'll try sex. They'll try just about anything to be the anchor of their soul. And how many of you found out it just wasn't good? It wasn't good. And you know, the funny part is you can actually do, now those things we go, come on, your mama told you don't do drugs and alcohol and don't sleep around, right? Okay, so you know that. But what about the ones like Netflix? I've had one stink of a day. I'm going to sit in front of Netflix and eat jelly beans. Because you know I love jelly beans. I love jelly beans. I bought a bag, I'm confessing, and I ate all the the black licorice ones and the orange ones, and I threw them out. Because you know, best tradition, eating jelly beans. But, okay, getting back to that. So you'd have to know my story. So you can anchor your soul when it's not good in not good. Bad, but not good places. Because you know what? After I watch 5 hours of Netflix, my soul still splat all over the place. Right? I have a friend, and she is a runner. And when she has the day from you know where, you know what she does? She goes running. She goes, honey, I'm gone. I'll come back later. And you know, that's not bad. But how about we anchor in the Lord Jesus first, okay? Jack used to come home and he'd go, man, it was a stink of a day. I'm going to the shooting range. Uh-huh. Bam, 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 bam. And I'm like, okay. And he'd come back like an hour later and he was just smiling, okay? Now, the thing is, shooting range, not people, all right? But you know, I found out, and those aren't bad, but how about you anchor your life in Jesus. He'll keep your brain and your emotions in a better place. Okay. I found this quote. It's by John Maxwell, and they'll pop it up on the screen. You could write it down if you'd like. It says, hope always has a future. Hope always has a future. Hurrah! Okay. And then it says, it leans forward with expectation. It leans forward with expectation. About a month ago, I was at the Prayer for York, and there was a lady. I hadn't seen her in a long time. We hosted the Prayer for York here, and I said, hey, how's your son doing? Because I know he has not been a great place. Her son has not been a great place. Actually, he's kind of anchored himself in alcohol, and it's just messing up his life. It's actually messing up his body right now. And I said, hey, how's your son doing? And she said this, and I thought, oh, listen to this. Listen to what she said. He's doing great. He just doesn't know it yet. But listen. You know what I heard? I heard hope. She was leaning forward in a confident expectation. You know, I would say, well, tomorrow's going to be a better day. You know, you can say that because that's your hope, leaning forward. So hope's a good thing, right? Hope's a really good thing. So today, I want you to know that God wants you to have a forward expectation. He wants you leaning forward, no matter how bad the day was before, no matter what's going on with the economy, no matter what's happening in your life, God wants you to have a hope that you are leaning forward towards him. Amen? Praise God. I like hope. Decided I like hope. Yep. So I want to give you three things that will help build your hope in your life. Just three things. Won't take too long, alrighty? And no matter who you are, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I want to stir you up some more with some hope. And if you don't know nothing and you're just like, they drug me here today, I want to stir you up to have hope that you're leaning forward for greatness, okay? So, but before I do that, okay, I want to tell you a story I just recently heard. The story is this lady, she was about 90 years old, and she's telling the story about when she was younger. So there's this fine, regal 90-year-old lady, and she's telling this story, and she said, you know, when I was younger, I had a BFF, my best friend forever. And, you know, we just ran around. We just had a great time. And then we met these two guys, and we're both dating at the same time. Not the same guys. Okay, so they're both dating. And, you know, they've been dating these guys, and they decided they're going to get married. And because they're BFFs, they want to have the wedding the same day, you know, do a double wedding. Only girls think that stuff. I'm telling you. Tell me how many guys think that. No way, okay? So they're just best friends, and they're just having a great old time. But this 90-year-old lady is telling the story about her life, and what happened is she broke up with her boyfriend just for a while. They just were kind of struggling. They wanted to get things kind of better. And a couple of months go by, and you know what that BFF does? Boo! She starts dating her old guy. Yeah! Huh. Now, ladies, we know you don't do that. Guys, you ought to know you don't do that, okay? It's the code. It's never been written, but it's the code. So here's this lady, and her best friend dates this guy, and she marries him. I know. Okay, so obviously they are not BFFs anymore, are they? You got that. Save some money, though. But listen to what happened, what it did to this lady, and she's 90 years old, and she's telling this story. She says, from that point on, one, she's not my friend, that guy. But she says, I got so angry. I got so angry at her. I got so mad at her. And time would go by, and I'd think about her, and I just, this whole anger would rise up, and I'd get so mad, and I just, it would consume me. And then years would go by, and I'd think about her, and I just would get all angry and mad at her again. And then later on in life, this 90-year-old lady who's telling the story, she says, I was, you know, just a few years ago, so let's say she's about 85, she has an encounter with Jesus. She receives him as her Lord and Savior. And, you know, he's so cute, Jesus. He'll start churning things in your life. And, you know, a couple, some times go by, and she realizes, I'm just going to forgive her. I'm going to forgive that old BFF. And the funny part was that BFF had been passed away for over 20 years. For 20 years. This lady's been dead, but this 90-year-old lady had been angry at her, mad at her. It would every time she would think about it, and it wouldn't be often, but often enough that this just stir this madness and craziness out. And she decided she'd forgive her. You know? And she realized it wasn't helping her, wasn't helping them. So that was good. So the reason why I tell that story is, listen, I think there's a lot of people that think God's angry at them. Yeah, I run into people that, you know, this is a cute one. I invite people all the time to YCF, and I have heard this at least a half dozen times. Pastor, if I came to YCF, the walls would crumble and the roof would cave in. I'm like, what are you talking about? Because, you know, if I walked in, God's mad at me and the place where the walls would fall in and they'd just kill me and kill everybody. And I'm thinking, what? Yeah, because, you know, God's mad at me, Pastor. And I'm like, what? God's not mad at you. What are you, you know, okay. So, point number one, to help build hope in your life. Ready? You're going to laugh. Jesus loves you, and he's not mad at you. You know, you probably sang the song, Jesus loves the little, okay? You know that. Jesus loves you, but he's not mad at you. Jesus loves you, and he's not mad at you. And listen, he's mad about you. He's just crazy in love for you and about you, but he is not mad at you. All right. So to have hope, you got to know that. That's got to be one of these anchors in your life. Jesus loves me and he's not mad at me. And you know, unfortunately, Jesus has been portrayed and by a lot of ministers that he's mad all the time. He's walking around with a bat. He's mad at people. He's mad at you. So you think that, and then you come into church and you go, man, you know, I'm pretty sure God's mad at me because you know what I did Saturday night. No, no, he loves you. He loves you and he is not mad at you. All right. And I have to tell you this. He didn't come into this world so he could be mad at you. Jesus didn't leave heaven so he could come down to earth so he could be mad with you. He didn't do that. He loves you, all right? He open up to this scripture. You probably all know this. You might even seen somebody at a football field holding it up. John 3:16. Open up to that because we're going to read John 3:16 and 17, all right? So open that up. They'll pop it up here, okay? Praise the Lord. John 3:16. For God loves the world. I just read that. Does your Bible say that? God loves the world so much that he gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting light. Verse 17, God sent his son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. So listen, the way I read that, Jesus didn't come to condemn you. Jesus didn't come to be mad at you. Jesus didn't come to judge you. Is that the way you read that? Yeah, I mean, it's black and white, okay? All right, here's another one, written by the same author. So we just read the Gospel of John. Hop at the back of your book to 1 John. 1 John, it's down in the back of your book, all right? 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read out of this translation because this guy just says it so good. It's out of the J.B. Phillips translation. So they're going to pop it up here, but you can write it down in your notes, okay? John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, to us, the greatest demonstration of God's love for us has been sending his son into the world to give us life through him. We see real love, not in that the fact that we love God, but he loved me. He loved us and sent his son to make personal atonement for our sins. Okay, that word atonement simply means paid. He paid for our sins. Oh, I love that. I love that. Okay. Now, if that's true, that Jesus loves you, he loves me, he loves the world, he loves me, he loves you, he loves me, he loves you, and he's not mad at you, guess what? He's not rejecting you. He's accepting you. He's accepting you. All right. I'm sure none of you girls were ever in that cute little clicky thing in third grade. You know, the little clicky girl group, okay? If you weren't in the group and accepted by the group, you were rejected. It didn't matter that you had the best snacks at lunchtime, okay? But listen, Jesus isn't that clicky little group. He doesn't reject, he accepts everybody. He accepts you because he loves you. Amen? He loves you. So he loves you. Praise the Lord. And you know, if you don't get that straight in your head, I'm not rejected, I'm accepted. I'm not rejected, I'm accepted. I'm not rejected, I'm accepted. This is what you do. I'll just try to be real good because then he'll accept me. Or better yet, this is the other goofy thing. Well, you know, like I said, what I did last week and what I did last night, so obviously he's rejecting me. Because I was bad, I did this, I said that, he's rejecting me. But that's not true, because what? Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Praise the Lord, he loves me. So, guys, you are not too bad for God. Don't listen to your wife. You are not too bad for God. Praise the Lord. And you haven't done too much that God, I can just see God going, oh, you have done so many bad things. I'm rejecting you. But you know, the rest of these guys, I'll take them because you really, really, really are bad. No. God's not like that. Jesus is not like that. He's the same with everybody. He accepts you. You're not too bad. He accepts you. So look at the person next to you, say, you're accepted. Tell them they're accepted. Yep. Praise the Lord. They're accepted. Okay, second thing that will build hope in your life. You ready? Number two. And especially since it's Resurrection Sunday, it's Easter Sunday, this is like a no-brainer. Jesus died for you. Pastor D, earth shaking. Yes, I know. But listen, they're going to pop the cross up on here and just leave that up here. Okay. You're probably saying, well, no kidding, Pastor D. Everybody knows that. Even if they don't go to church, they know it's Easter. Jesus died. No. Jesus died for the world. He died for the world. Jesus died for the world. Okay. The problem about that is that becomes not personal. Okay, how many of you had moms? I did not say this to my kids, but I remember my mom. You need to eat all your vegetables because the kids in Africa are dying. They're starving over there. Do you know what? I didn't eat my vegetables. You know why? Because it wasn't personal. I didn't know who those kids were, all right? And they're just far, far away. So my mom had to come up with some other things, and let me tell you, she was pretty good. So listen. Jesus, we know Jesus died for the world, but you have to get it where it's personal. Be personal. Me. All right. So every time I say us, yell out me. All right. Here we go. For God showed his great love for us by sending his son to die for us while we were yet still sinners, verse 9, and still we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Jesus. He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. Verse 11. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. Us friends with God. Did you hear that last part? God has made us friends, well, through Jesus, friends with God. So make it real personal. You can have a friendship with God. Now, how many of you have sons and daughters? Or one of each, or one, or whatever, okay? They're great. Sons, daughters, they're great, okay? And when my kids are little, you know, I'm the mom. They're my kids. They're my son. They're my daughters. I tell you, it's time to go to bed. It's time to clean up the Play-Doh, okay? We have this relationship going on. But you listen, 30 years go by, and I've got friendship with my children, okay? And that's even better, right? So God's saying, I will restore a relationship. And not only will you be sons and daughters, but you'll be a friend of God. You'll be a friend of God. Come on. Say, I'm a friend of God. Man. You talk about proving your love. Jesus proved his love, made you a friend of God when you come into his family. That's incredible. Some of you are like, yeah, right. No, I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. And listen, if he's a friend, if he's your friend, guess what? He's not your enemy. Guess what? He's not mad. Right? He's your friend. You have this incredible relationship where it says, I read that. You read that. Friend of God. We used to sing a song. Not singing, but we used to sing a song. Praise the Lord. Okay, so Jesus died so he could restore this amazing, wonderful relationship that we can now be a friend with God. So how many of you have had little 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, and they'll go, why? It's time to clean up your toys. Why? It's time to get ready for bed. Why? Okay, you need to ask why. This is the time you get to ask why. Why would he restore that relationship and make you a friend? You ever sit there and why? Okay, everybody say why? Why? Okay, well, I'm going to tell you. Because each one of us had a debt that we couldn't pay. And that's why he'll make you a friend. Each one of us had a debt, and only Jesus could pay that debt. That's incredible. All right, that's incredible, just incredible. All righty, so listen to this. Let's just suppose there's all kind of people here. I don't have to suppose. You're all kind of different people. Let's just suppose there's a billionaire. You know, the billionaire with the capital B that's sitting out here in the audience. okay, in our congregation. And this billionaire says, well, listen, okay, so I have a debt. How about I go to Jesus and say, listen, Jesus, I can pay my debt. I have $1 billion. I'll give you $1 billion to pay my debt. What's the answer, everybody? No. No. Jesus paid our debt, a debt we could not pay. Only Jesus could pay our debt. Okay. Now, I'm going to ask a question. Don't raise your hand. How many of you still have a mortgage payment? Don't raise your hand. How many of you still have college loans? Don't raise your hand. How many of you have a car loan? Don't raise your hand. How many of you credit card debt? Do not raise your hand. And don't tell me how much. Okay, I'll take your credit card away. Now, let's suppose you went to the mailbox today, and there was a letter in the mail, and it says your mortgage has been canceled. Woohoo! Okay, how about the letter said your credit card has been canceled, not canceled, debt. Don't cancel your credit card, please. Your credit card debt has been canceled. Your car loan has been canceled. Okay? You got one of these things and it says canceled. You'd be walking around. Look, they canceled my mortgage. It's paid. You would say, best day ever. Everybody say, best day ever. Man, best day ever. Especially you, if you've got a 25, 30 year mortgage loan, you'd be going, man, got canceled. Best day ever. Listen, Jesus paid your debt. He canceled it. He canceled it. Praise the Lord. He canceled it. So you couldn't pay the debt. Only Jesus could pay the debt. So let me give you a good scripture. Here we go. Open up to Romans 4. Praise God. Until you understand that you had a debt and you couldn't pay it, till you understand that Jesus paid it, you are going to be just struggling for life. Just trying to make it happy. All right. So you've got to understand. You had a debt. Jesus paid. Praise the Lord. He paid it for the world. He paid it for you and me. A friend of mine says this all the time, and I'm going to just steal it. He says, listen to this. At our worst, Jesus gave his best. At our worst, Jesus gave his best. At our worst, Jesus gave his best for me. At your worst, he gave his best for you. So you're over at Romans 4:25. It says, he was handed over to die because of our sins, our debt. And he was raised to life to make us right with God. Best day ever. Amen. Right? Here's another one. 1 John, just write it down. 1 John 2:2. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins or pays our debt. And not only our sins, but the sins of the world. Guys, good news. Jesus paid our debt. Best day ever. Jesus paid for our sins. Best day ever. Jesus canceled it. Best day ever. New t-shirt. Best day ever. Right? Best day ever. All righty. Praise the Lord. So praise God. Here's the third thing and we'll wrap up. Third thing to help build hope in you. Ready? I run into this, and maybe you don't, but and you might even be one of those sitting here. People say, but Pastor D, I'm so bad. I'm too bad. So number three, you are not too bad for God. You are not too bad for God. You are not too bad for God. I've had someone say, Pastor, if you knew who I was, you'd stop acting so nice to me. I'm like, what? You know, because they think they're too bad. They've done too bad. All right. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is the Apostle Paul that wrote this. All right. The Apostle Paul wrote this. And by the way, he was bad. Did anybody know about Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul, he was bad. He was a murderer. That's bad. And maybe you've been a murderer, but wait till you hear what happened here. Okay. The Apostle Paul's writing this. He was bad. Ready? Bad. Praise the Lord. This is a trustworthy saying that everyone should accept. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I am the worst of them. Oh, all right? So you're not that bad, according to Paul. You're not that bad. He's saying, I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example. of this great patience and with even the worst sinners, then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. So you know what he's saying here? You may come to church and think you're bad. You're too bad. And God spoke to Paul and he says, I'm going to use you as a prime example that for everybody else that I would show you mercy because you were so bad that if I would show you mercy, you will be an example that there is mercy and forgiveness for everybody. Best day ever. Best day ever. Okay, so if you're just dragging your heels when you come, think about God and run away from God. Somebody's talking about the Lord and you're like, yeah, but I've been bad. No, no. The Apostle Paul says, hey, I was the worstest of the worstest. Don't you love little kids? She was the worstest. And the Apostle Paul, God says, I want you to be an example that anybody just like you can have forgiveness, your debt paid and canceled. Praise God. Best day ever. Amen. Best day ever. All right. So I have two more scriptures. Open up to Romans 3. Romans 3. Praise God. Romans 3, verse 23. I believe that Jesus is reaching out to people here this morning. I believe that Jesus is talking to people this morning. I believe that. And I want to read you this scripture here. Okay. Romans 3, 23. Romans 3, verse 23. For everyone has sinned. Look at yourself and say, I'm an everyone. Point to the person next to you and say, you're one of those two. Okay. Everyone has sinned. Now listen, you may not have been as bad as Paul, but everybody sinned. I've sinned because I'm an everyone. Okay. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glorious standard of God. So if you're one of those high jumpers, here's the bar, right? And you're supposed to run and throw yourself over that bar. Okay, but it's the standard's too high for you and you don't make it over. The standard, God's standard was too high for you and I that we couldn't get over. Our sin, because everyone's sin, couldn't get over. Now say, but. This is okay. For verse 24, this is the but part. It says, yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right. Best day ever. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. Best day ever. Best day ever. Best day ever. Isn't it? It's the best day ever. Okay. Close your eyes for a second. Praise the Lord. Just get really quiet. What is the Lord saying to you? Praise the Lord. What is he? I believe he's reaching out at people and you just have to just get real quiet. No one's looking at you and just, you know, what is the Lord Jesus saying to you? Right? Like, God, I think my life could be better if I anchor my soul in you. Yep. God, I think my life could be better if I just have you in my life. Okay? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Just ask him, Lord, how can my life be better? And he'll speak to you. He's just so cute. He just speaks here. Okay? With your eyes still closed, I just have one more question to ask. How can you get hope in your life for a better life? How can you get hope in your life? Well, the answer is really simple. There's only one way. Our kids sang the song for you. What? Ready? One way to have hope in your life. Through Jesus. One way to have hope in your life. And you have to receive him into your life. One way. All right? And Jesus said, I am the way. Right? I am the truth. I am the light. No one comes to the Father except through me and by me. That's the only way that you can have this hope that anchors your life. Praise God. I'm going to read one more scripture, and this is the how-to. And a lot of you know this, but I just close, keep your eyes closed. Well, maybe not. You'll fall asleep here. Okay. Ready? All right. Romans 10, 9 and 10 and verse 13. Romans 10, 9 and 10. This is the how to have hope, Jesus, in your life. It's really simple. OK, Okay, ready? It says, if you openly declare Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. And jump down to verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Best day ever, right? So if you're here and you'd say, you know what, Pastor D, if I had to be really honest, my life's not so great. And maybe some of you would say, well, Pastor D, you know, my life's pretty good. You know, I got my mortgage paid off. You know, I've got a great job. I got a great wife. I got a great kids. You know, but you'd say my life's pretty great, but I'm kind of missing. And I've tried to put my job to fill it. I've tried to do other things to fill it. My life's missing. So I have a question to ask. And this time you can close your eyes because I don't want anybody looking around. Praise the Lord. How many of you here would say, you know, Pastor, if you were to ask me where I'd spend eternity, I really don't know. Pastor, if I were to die, I don't know about this heaven. I don't know. God, you know, Pastor, really, I just don't know. Praise the Lord. Well, the great thing is you can know today. You can know about your eternity. You can know about having the best day ever. You can know about having a friend of God. I tell you what, it's real easy. And today could be the day that your whole life changes. Your whole life changes. Actually, your story can change today. So here's my question. If you're here today and you'd say, you know what, Pastor, I am far from God. I don't know him personally. Would you raise your hand? Just be really bold. Raise your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. I don't know God. I know I don't know him. I'm far from him. Or you'd say, you know, Pastor, I am a follower. But you know, I just kind of put God in my closet, shut the door, and I'm really far from him. If you're here and you would say, you know, I don't know the Lord, or I've been a follower and I've just kind of drifted and that. But you'd say, you know what? I need that hope. I need that anchor. I need Jesus. I need prayer. I need a relationship. I need Jesus. So if you're here today and you just raise your hand and we're going to pray for you. You're actually going to pray that Romans prayer at the end. And I'll tell you what, best day ever. Change your life. So if there's somebody here, you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I need help. I need Jesus. I want to rededicate my life. I can't live my life anymore the way it has been. Nobody's looking around. You can just raise your hand and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to actually pray with you. Just raise your hand and say, you know, that's me, Pastor. I just need help. I need Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. The Bible says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord would be saved. It is so crazy easy. Isn't that easy? Would ever believe in the heart. Call in the name of the Lord, you would be accepted forever. So if there's anybody here that would just raise their hand and say, yep, I've been far from God, or I just, you know, just shut him up and I'm ready for him in my life. Okay, I see that hand. You can put your hand down. Is there anybody else? Just, we're not going to embarrass you. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Just going to get quiet for a minute. Praise God. Well, I'll tell you what, saw that hand. I'm going to pray, and I'd like you to pray this prayer after me. And actually, everybody, we're going to pray it with this person that raised their hand, okay? We're going to pray it with them. And you pray it so you can hear it, and you pray it with your heart. Because today, it's personal. Today, it's personal. Today, it's personal. Ready? Say, Father God, I repent of my sins. I thank you for forgiving me. Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. I'm now a friend of God. Heaven's my home. And this is the best day ever. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, praise God. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, come on up. We've got a booklet for you. We'll pray with you. If you have something that you'd like prayer for, it says, we agree. If two more gather together and we pray and agree, it'll happen. Okay, we'll stand with you. We'll speak life over you. We'll pray with you. If you've got some symptoms going on or just, you just need, you know, sometimes there's strength in numbers. There's strength in numbers. And you know, that's why the body's called, the church is called a body. That's why we're called a community. Because you know what? Doing life together is just a lot better. It's a lot easier. So if you would like prayer, I've got some altar ministers that are going to be up front now. And the rest of you, let's stand up. Father, I thank you for these lovely people. I thank you that you have loved them. You